Hello and welcome all. Welcome back to another episode of Everyday Black History. I'd like to welcome you all back. I know it's been a while since I've done an episode. I think the last one I did was back in October. Man, you know, I can't believe it's been that long, but the days, the weeks, and the months, they seem to go by so quickly. It all just kind of blends together before you know 3 months have passed. But, you know, unfortunately, because of other obligations, work, family obligations, things like that, I had to, take a break from the podcast. Just last year in general, those, important obligations, take precedence. So I wasn't able to devote as much time to the podcast as I wanted to. But this year in 2022, we're back in full effect. And we're going to definitely be putting out, more content this year regularly like we used to. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I missed you guys. I missed talking about Black history. And so I'm happy to be back. And definitely, promise to continue back, bringing out regular content like previously. But Happy New Year to everyone out there. I know we're 10 days in to the new year, but Happy New Year. Hopefully 2022 would be a great year for us all. Hopefully we can get past all the nonsense that we've been dealing with, the pandemic, and at least try and get back to, some semblance of normalcy. But just getting back to the podcast and providing a great informative distraction about Black history, we're going to get back to that. And today we're going to be, for the next few episodes, we're going to be talking about the Black Arts Movement. And, our history, it touches on so much, whether it's science and technology, inventions, especially when it comes to creativity. The African diaspora is some of the most creative minds on the planet. The Black Arts Movement was a very specific movement during the late 70s and late 60s, excuse me, and 70s, in which, a lot of voices came to the fore. It was a Black-led movement that, through activism and art, created new cultural institutions. It conveyed a message of Black pride. And the next few people, there are a lot of people that was tied to the Black Arts Movement. We're going to go over a few, our next few episodes are going to cover a few of those individuals. And then just throughout the year, we'll just, talk about all the members who were tied to the Black Arts Movement throughout the year. Because, we want to bring these individuals to the forefront who aren't well known to people outside of the Black community, who even to people in the Black community may not know who these individuals are if they're not into poetry or literature like that. So you want to definitely talk about these individuals, these men and these women, and their works, their literature, poetry, their art that they brought to the world, and the importance that it has for our culture in conveying pride. So the first person we're going to highlight that was heavily tied to the Black Arts Movement is Sonia Sanchez. And Sonia Sanchez is a poet, a writer, and a professor. And she was one of the leading figures in the Black Arts Movement. She has written over a dozen books of poetry, short stories, critical essays, plays, and even children's books. She released poems and periodicals that targeted the Black American audience, and she published a collection of her poems in a book. Her first one was called Homecoming in 1969. She was the recipient of many awards for her work, and she is definitely a legend in Black culture and in Black history. So a little bit of background information on her. She was born in Birmingham, Alabama on September 9th, 1934. And she was born Wilsonia Benita Driver. And as mentioned, she was born in Birmingham, Alabama. Now, she was raised by her grandmother because her mom died when she was very young. So she was raised primarily by her grandmother up until the young age of six. When her grandmother died, she mentioned that it was a trying time in her life. She developed a stutter and it made her very introverted. But the stutter actually led to her reading more and paying close attention to language and its sounds. So the stutter actually helped her, was the first step in her becoming who she is now, which is interesting. Now, in 1943, she moved to Harlem, New York City, to live with her father and his family up here in New York. Now, when she was in Harlem, she learned to manage her stutter and she excelled at school. And this allowed her to find her poetic voice, which later emerged during her studies at college, when she went to Hunter College. Now, she focused on the sound of her poetry, reading her poetry aloud and giving it its own unique style. And she is known for her sonic range and her dynamic public readings. She earned her BA in political science in 1955 from Hunter College, but it was during her time at Hunter College which started her journey into becoming, you know, the poet that she is. And she pursued her postgraduate degrees at NYU. And it was during her time at NYU that she formed a writer's workshop in the Village, Greenwich Village, where the Broadside Quartet was born. And the Broadside Quartet included other prominent Black arts movement artists, or future Black arts movement artists, one of which being Nikki Giovanni, which is also another well-known poet, as well as Etheridge Knight and Haki, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this right, but Haki Madhubuti. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But these individuals, along with Sonia Sanchez, made up the Broadside Quartet. And that was born in the Village during her time at NYU. Now, Sonia Sanchez, she was, you know, married a couple of times. She has, you know, three children. And it's motherhood that influenced a lot of her poetry, especially in the 70s, with the bonds between mother and child emerging as a key theme. So she used her personal experiences as a mother in her poetry. Now, Sonia Sanchez, she's been teaching since the 60s. She taught fifth grade while in New York up until 1967. She has taught as a professor at 8 different universities and has lectured at more than 500 college campuses across the United States, including Howard University. She was also a leader in the effort to establish the discipline of Black studies at the university level. When she was teaching at San Francisco State University, she introduced Black studies courses, and she was the first to create and teach a course based on Black women and literature in the U.S., and the course that she offered about African-American literature is considered the first of its kind that was taught at a predominantly white university. Now, she viewed the discipline of Black studies as both a new platform for the study of race and as a way to challenge the institutional biases of many American universities. And it was these efforts that were clearly in line with the goals of the Black arts movement. And, you know, she, no doubt, as we know, Sonia Sanchez is definitely a Black feminist. She was also the first presidential fellow at Temple University, where she began working in 1977. And she has read her poetry in Africa, the Caribbean, China, Australia, Europe, Nicaragua, and Canada. Those are all the places that she has read her poetry. So, you know, she's a well-traveled woman based off of her work. Now, she has supported many, as an activist, she has supported many different causes, catered to the Black community. The National Black United Front, she supported as well, and she was a very influential part of the Civil Rights Movement, and as we mentioned before, the Black Arts Movement. She became a member of CORE, Congress of Racial Equality, which was another organization where she met Malcolm X. And she stated that she was originally an integrationist in her thinking. But after she heard Malcolm X speak, she became more separatist in her thinking and focused more on her Black heritage and identity. She actually even joined the Nation of Islam for a time in the 1970s. And she published a book during her time with the Nation of Islam, a blues book for the Blue Black Magical Woman, which was published in 1974. But she left the organization in 1975 because their views on women's rights conflicted. But she always continued to advocate for the rights of oppressed women and minority groups. And she wrote many plays and books that had to do with the struggles and lives of Black America. Among her plays, Sister Sanji, which was first produced off-Broadway at the New York Shakespeare Festival Public Theater in 1972. Another one was Malcolm Man, Don't Live Here No More, which was published and was produced in 1979 at the ASCOM Community Center in Philadelphia. She has edited two anthologies on Black literature, We Be Word Sorcerers, 25 Stories by Black Americans, and 360 Degrees of Blackness Coming at You. So this is just a few of some of the things that she has written throughout her, based off her work. There's so much more that you can look up about her and find out on her work, so much more. Now, we talked a lot about the Black Arts Movement that she was involved in, as her being one of the leading figures. And the Black Arts Movement was it was considered a renewal of Black will, Black will, insight, energy, and awareness. And she published poetry and essays in numerous periodicals in the 1960s, including The Liberator, Negro Digest, and Black Dialogue. Obviously, these are Black periodicals. And but her work was regularly published in these literature. And her writing established her importance as a political thinker to the Black aesthetic. She gained a reputation as an important voice in the movement after publishing the book of poems that we talked about earlier, Homecoming, in 1969. She also published a second one in 1970 titled We Are Bad People, and that demonstrated her use of experimental poetic forms to discuss the development of Black nationalism and identity. Now, throughout her poetry, she used traditional poetic formats like haiku, and she would actually meld a musical format such as the blues in her poetry, which is very popular if you ever go on to some of these like poetry spots. They always have like the kind of music playing in the background. I haven't been in one in years, but I know that's how it used to be. I don't know if that might have changed over the years, but so that, you know, a lot of that came from her influence, using, you know, music and blues and to go along with her poetry and kind of reading her poetry almost to a beat with the music. She has different techniques that makes her work stand out. She uses spelling to celebrate the unique sound of Black English. You know, that's one of her that's one of her things. As we mentioned before, her readings are very spirited and dynamic. She also emphasized, you know, in her later work, she emphasized what she sees as the need for revolutionary cultural change. Some of her works that talked about this was I've Been a Woman, Homegirls, and Hand Grenades, and Under a Soprano Sky. And those works tend to focus less on the separatist themes like those of Malcolm X in her earlier work, and more on themes of love, community, and empowerment. So, you know, she continued to explore the traditional poetic formats, as well as, you know, adding the blues-influenced rhythms to her poetry. But she continued to work, and she continued to talk about things that matter to the community. Some of her later works continues her experiments with different forms of poetry, such as the epic poem, Does Your House Have Lions? which is an emotional account of her brother's deadly struggle with AIDS. So she continued to talk about things that, you know, that mean a lot to people. This poem was in 1997. And although you don't hear as much about, you know, AIDS as you did back in the 90s, especially in the 80s, you know, a lot of people have lost people to that, you know, horrific disease. And even, you know, Sanchez continues to contribute to, you know, Black literature and Black arts, including, you know, drama. She began writing plays, you know, while she was in the 60s, while she was in San Francisco in the 60s, as he talked about. And, you know, many of her plays, you know, challenge the masculinist spirit of the movement. Unfortunately, a lot of movements, the Black arts movement as well as the Black power movement. Unfortunately, those movements are very male dominated in a sense where women were kind of, you know, not kind of, they were subjugated to more submissive roles. Only a few were able to stand out, like Angela Davis in the Black Power Movement, or Elaine Brown, or Catherine Cleaver. But for the most part, many of the women were made to be more submissives. And I, you know, the Black Arts Movement was no different, unfortunately. But a lot of Sonia Sanchez's plays during this time actually challenged that. And it focused on strong female protagonists. As we mentioned before, she is a pioneering champion of Black feminism. But, you know, Sonia Sanchez, I mean, we could talk about her. We could talk about her for hours because her work is so, like I said, it goes back decades. So there's a lot to look up. There's a lot to explore with her and her poetry and her plays and her books. So if you don't know who Sonia Sanchez is, I advise you to go, you know, look her up, check out her work, and you'll definitely be wowed and impressed with her work. And, you know, if you're not into poetry, you know, try and, you know, look to something new, you know, explore something new, you know, you'll definitely enjoy it. But Sonia Sanchez is still with us, and we are thankful that she is still with us. And we wanted to salute her for her contribution to Black history and Black culture. Now, as mentioned, we will be talking about, you know, a few individuals, several individuals consecutively that was involved in the Black arts movement. So our next, you know, couple of episodes will be dealing with those individuals, and there are a lot of people who are tied to it. And so we're going to talk about all of them throughout the year and throughout social media, just to bring attention to them and in their work and what it means and how it contributes to Black culture and Black history. So as mentioned, Sonia Sanchez, we salute you. And that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. I'd like to thank you all for joining in, and I hope you enjoyed it. And as mentioned, we will definitely be back with more episodes, with more content this year. And I hope so far you're having a great week. Well, it is just Monday, but hopefully you have a great week. Hopefully so far, even though it's the beginning of the year, it's starting off well for you. And we will be in touch very soon. So just stay tuned for the next episode.